Let's go out to Dave in Soda Springs. Good morning, Dave.
Yeah, they can't even hear you in Soda Springs, man. I think there's one radio signal that's coming out of Pocatello, Idaho.
They don't have the Odyssey app there?
They have the Odyssey app.
No, they don't have anything there, man. I mean, we just got the movie Jaws just made it to the theater there that holds about 14 people.
Oh, they're gonna
and the
love
crying
it.
Game. It's a dude. Oh, spoiler alert. All right.
Yeah, that would be disturbing. That would be like a zombie movie to them, so they wouldn't know.
All right, I don't think it's going to be 36-30 this time. Is this game going to last 2 hours, 37 minutes on Sunday, Dave?
Do you think both teams are going to try to run it?
I think maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think, Rob, you're on to something probably pretty good. I think they're going to try to certainly feature those three guys run the ball. And we don't even know if Bucky Irving's going to be able to go. He has not practiced the first 2 days of this week. And so we'll see if Bucky shows up on their injury report today and whether he can go. But Rashad White and Sean Tucker will certainly get opportunities. I think if we might be, well, I know we are, we're making a mistake if we discount what these guys can do throwing the football too. Jalen McMillan is an outstanding receiver. He's young. Sterling Shepard's a veteran receiver, much to the likes of Kadarius Hodge. We know what Hodge did to these guys last time. And Trey Palmer is a guy that's emerging, just hasn't gotten the ball thrown to him because he's playing with Evans, you know, and Godwin. So they've got guys that catch the ball, and I think their tight end's a big-time player, and Kate Otten, too. So they've got some things going for them on the offensive side of the ball. They get guys back defensively. Antoine Winfield coming back is a big deal for them on defense. He did not play against us last time. And Kalijah Kancey up front teamed up with Vita Vea. You have Vita Vea, who's the hammer, and then Kalijah Kancey is kind of that poor man's Aaron Donald type guy, real quick and be able to knife through. So they get some people back on the defensive side, just lose a couple guys on the offensive side.
Yeah, well, you know, we might have somebody back too. There's a chance. I don't know if it's going to happen. We're not sure, but Troy Anderson's been practicing a little bit this week. Arch, if he's back on the field, do you think you could see situations where he and Lamon are in the middle in there in a passing situation and maybe you have Caden Ellis in a pass rush situation?
Yeah, I think there's no question about it. You know, as you try to, you know, kind of spur that group on that's rushing the passer or try to get some punch to it, I think that Caden certainly has the ability to slide outside. It's not something you're going to want to do all the time, but it certainly could be a changeup. We haven't shown it a ton. He slides up in that B and C gap from time to time when we show a five-man front, but it's more interiorly. We don't see him on the edge a lot. He's lined up out there a few times, but you know, as soon as the team gets a gauge on that you've got a 240-pound guy on the edge or 235-pound guy on the edge, you're going to run at him. And so you got to be careful about, you know, your steady diet of that. But certainly I think that could be a changeup, absolutely.
Arch, look into your crystal ball for me and try to look forward to Sunday and what this outcome actually looks like offensively for the Falcons, because you look at him throwing for 500 yards last time they faced the Bucs, and then Bijan the last couple of weeks has been really special in the run game. And I know what Raheem's answer would be and Zach Robinson's answer would be, well, it's all about what they try to do to us. You know, we're going to react and we're not going to go in, you know, thinking we know what's going to happen. But I'm asking Dave Archer, looking at that crystal ball and the way you see things play out this Sunday, if you maybe have a handle on what you'd like to see that would make the Falcons successful in order to win offensively.
Well, first of all, Mike, I'd like them to just do what they're capable of doing. You know, if Drake London's running an in-cut and the ball's, you know, like 6 feet above his six inches above his head when he elevates to catch the football, he can't let it go through his hands and get it picked off by the safety that's behind him. Kirk Cousins can't think that he's Lamar Jackson and try to skate out of the pocket and try to do something he's probably not capable of doing, get the ball raked out that's scooped and scored. So just do the things you're capable of doing and take attention to detail. As far as play calling goes, I do think they'll ebb and flow as to what Tampa's going to do. Tampa was really good in the Baltimore game the first two series defensively. You go back and look at that game. They sacked Lamar twice in the first series of downs. It wasn't until later on, until Derrick Henry ripped off that 81-yard run, that, you know, Baltimore started to get some footing in the run game and started to kind of dictate in the game. And then ultimately Lamar had a monster day throwing for five touchdowns. But if their rushing numbers, I think they have 250 yards rushing, 260 yards rushing in the game, which is a monster day. But Derrick had 81 on one run, and Lamar Jackson ran for 52 yards, which you're not going to get. We're not going to get that on Sunday. So all of a sudden you add that up, and that's 130 yards rushing comes off of that total. If you don't have an 81-yard run by John Robinson or Tyler Algier. So I think it's going to be a little bit tougher going than people think it's going to be. And so it's going to be important that they continue to mix what's going on. You're going to get 5 and 6 man fronts like you did last time. They played Baltimore very similar to the way they played us. They blitz from everywhere. That's who Todd Bowles is. And so it's going to have to be a crafty game where you're going to pick some of the things that you did really well last time, which was throwing the football. But you've got to get the run game going, too, against these guys so they can't just tee off and rush the passer, because they are going to be better defensively from a personnel standpoint. So to be able to nail it down and say, hey, this is the identity of this game, I think that that's who this team is. I think the identity is that they have the ability to morph into what they want to, but they have to be taking things. Attention to detail has to be there. Hand placement on blocks, catching the football, you know, don't try to do something you're not capable of doing, those kind of things.
Archie, back in the day when we were kids, we'd play Sandlot football. We all pretended to be a running back. I'm Walter Payton. I'm Tony Dorsett. Then the running back position seemed to be de-emphasized. Now there's a renaissance with Derrick Henry, of course, up there in Baltimore, Saquon, Bijan being drafted in the first round. How do you explain the renaissance of the running back and the glamour of it?
Well, I think that, you know, what happens, Rob, is this game is an ebb and flow game. There are things that catch popularity. Remember the Chicago Bear defense to cover the three interior offensive linemen and have guys coming off the edge and all. There's still pieces of that, but you don't see it as much because offense has morphed into and changed to be able to play and run against that and throw against it because it made you vulnerable. A lot of times you're a single high safety, so it took away some of those opportunities to defend down the field. I think that's what's happening now with the run game. The run game, we've gone to such a spread look. It's changed the dynamic of a player that's on the other side of the field. You got safeties in the box. You got lighter linebackers, maybe even lighter up front from a defensive line standpoint. Not a lot of Vita Veas on every team. So now teams are getting back to running the football. You got two tight ends on the field. You got guys that can run the ball. And I think it's happened in college, too. College played such a spread style of offense that they've gotten back to running the football, too. A lot of people look at the Big 12 and they say, well, they throw the ball over the yard. Well, that's where there's a ton of these Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson, a lot of these guys coming from the Big 12. That's where they run the football. And as you know, you and I, that's where the guys were coming from back yesteryear. You know, those great running backs of Barry Sanders and those guys coming out of there, Billy Sims, those guys. So I think it's just an ebb and flow of the game, and there's been guys that are have fit in the right spot. I mean, look at Williams last night, the youngster from Notre Dame, who ran the ball so well for the Rams last night. So you're right, there's a lot of good running backs, and it's cool to see because you're right that unfairly, really, because they're an important part of it. It's just who's running it and who's not.
It's like parachute pants. They always come back in style.
Boy, I can't wait to see you in those. The Zubas. I can't wait to see you break out your own Zubas.
I never skip leg day.
Have Zubas, have those hit Soda Springs yet? Or?
Oh, Zubas are still in style in Soda Springs, yeah.
That's high style.
The Jim McMahon autographed Zubas. Yeah, no,
oh, wow. You know, I was about to ask you about the run defense improvement over the last 2 weeks, Arch, but then it popped in my head that I know you were very complimentary of Jalen McMillan and Trey Palmer, but without Mike Evans and Chris Godwin out there, should the Falcons maybe come and hug up a little bit tighter on these receivers, which could maybe help your pass rush, because maybe Baker has to hold it a half a count or two longer, and maybe your guys can get home.
I don't know how scary it is to your co-host that something could actually pop into your head, but that's an interesting deal, an interesting thought. It's a good thought, Mo. You know,
Thank you. Appreciate that, Arch.
It's something I've talked about a number of times to where you come up and you play a little closer. Baker's going to try to get the ball out of his hands, obviously, get these guys the football, get them going. Screen game's a big part of what they do. He's a veteran quarterback that does a good job of spreading the ball around. I think that there's a depth. But I don't think you're going to change your personality. You're probably going to try to look at what they're going to do run game-wise. I think their run game is emerging. They've done some good things running the football over the last few weeks. They even had some moments against us, had the big run against us. So that'll be number one priority. And so I think you're going to be willing to give up some of those underneath throws, even though it's probably going to get some of these young guys going. But it certainly is a mix-up that I think that they could probably use. And I think, and Mike will tell you, you know, you got to try to help the offensive line to a certain extent. And if you can get the ball out quickly, then that's helping them gain some confidence and get them going. And And maybe you can deter some of that confidence by coming up and playing tighter, and that gets your pass rush going. So it makes the quarterback hold the ball a little bit longer. So it's certainly a cat-and-mouse game. But don't let anything else pop in your head. That could be dangerous.
I was going to say, Dave, he says at least six or seven things every day that are more terrifying than that. There's no doubt about it. It scares me out of my chair at least once a day. Look, and I have thoughts on this, and we got about 30 seconds, Arch, but I think you have to help Ryan Neuzel against Vita Vea this week. He kind of took over the game on the ground, you know, against the Falcons last time out, kind of had his way with Ryan Neuzel. Obviously, we don't have a very deep playbook as far as the offensive ground game, but just from your perspective, what do you think they can do to help a guy like Ryan Neuzel in that matchup with Vita Vea and maybe get Vita off balance a little bit?
Well, I think you're right. You know, anytime you got a guy that's got his own solar system, has got three moons rotating around him, that's a big individual. And so to try to get a couple of bodies on him. But you know as well as I do, Mike, what Bowles is going to do is he's going to try to isolate guys up front. He's going to show five-man looks. They're going to drop off. They're going to come. And so he's going to get singled sometimes. And I don't think you can completely dictate that. But, yes, you'd like to get two hats on the big fella and try to get him moved off the ball a little bit. I think Kalijah Kancey's a problem too because his quickness up front, they're two completely different players. And talking to Coach Ledford, one is quick and can jump in and out of two different gaps, and the other guy's just a hammer that's going to push people around. So there's going to be a lot more of a challenge up front this time than we had last time against these guys.
All right, Arch, use your abundant powers for good and will this team to victory on Sunday. Let's come home. Let's come home with a win.
Arch, where are we eating Saturday?
Oh,
yeah, I haven't decided yet that you're going to be allowed to go, but I'm still thinking about it.
Spearmint Rhino is what I've heard.
All right, Arch, appreciate you, man.
See you guys. See ya.